Welcome to the Power for Life. This broadcast brings to you a message of life-changing revival in the Holy Spirit. We pray that today's program will help to spur you on to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now here with today's message is Tom Hill.
When you look back upon the history of Israel, you find that it had a mixture of good times and bad times. There were times of great glory and honor. For example, during the kingdom reigns of David and of his son Solomon, they literally ruled the world, and they had everyone coming to them for advice and counsel. They were the envy of everyone. And then there were other times when Israel was sunk very low, and they became slaves and servants to the other nations round about them. The difference between the good times and the bad times depended upon how they responded to God's direction in their lives. The work of the Holy Spirit among them made the difference. When He had the freedom to rule and to reign, they enjoyed great glory and honor and privilege. When they resisted His work, they became slaves and servants to the peoples around them. As we examine the Church of Jesus Christ today, we find that there is somewhat of a mirror between the Church of today and the children of Israel of the past. We find that the Church has had many times in its history of great honor and great glory. We also find that the Church has faced some very dark and difficult and troubling days. And just like the nation of Israel, it has depended upon how the Church has responded to God's work in their lives. When they have resisted the work of the Holy Spirit, they have become downtrodden, depressed, discouraged. When they have responded to the Holy Spirit in their lives, they have become gloriously powerful in God and having a mighty influence in the world and experiencing God's great work in their lives. We find as we look at the Church of Jesus Christ today, we find that it is facing one of those down times. Now on the surface of it, it looks like the Church is doing grandly. We have numbers of people going to large churches. We apparently have great influence in the world, politically speaking. And yet at the same time, when you really get under the surface, you find that there are many in the Church today who are discouraged, defeated, and downtrodden. Despite how things look on the outside, on the inside, there is that downcast position in many people today. Perhaps that describes your condition today. I want to examine with you today a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, in which the prophet faced one of those discouraging, defeating times in the experience of the life of Israel. And we find there a message of hope and encouragement that brought the nation together to God and brought them back in restoration before God. And I believe that the truths that we will find in this passage that were true in the days of old in the nation of Israel will prove true in your life today and in the life of the Church if we will but apply them in our lives and permit them to control us and to change us. The passage of Scripture is a very short verse. It's found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Listen as I read it to you. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now at first glance, taking that verse just as it stands, sounds kind of strange and unusual. What is happening, you might ask? What is the setting? Well, let me take just a moment and explain some background to this verse, and then we'll examine the truths that it gives to us. The prophet Zechariah is alive during the time just after the children of Israel had gone into exile into Babylon. They were in exile for 70 years because of their sin and their rejection of God. God judged them by allowing the Babylonians to come over and to conquer them and to take them away captive. After 70 years of exile in Babylon, God brought them back to the land of Israel, the land of promise. But in that bringing them back, they faced many difficulties, many struggles and hardships. The nations round about them in Israel that had taken over the land during the exile resisted them and did everything they could to prevent the children of Israel from restoring the city of Jerusalem and their worship of God. As part of this restoration, there was a man by the name of Zerubbabel, kind of an unusual name for our day and age. He was the governor of Israel. And in the midst of his difficulties, God sent an angel with a special message to the prophet Zechariah. And he tells Zechariah, go to Zerubbabel with this message of encouragement. I know he's facing difficulty. I know he's facing struggles and hardships. I want you to give him this message that will help him know how once again I will restore the children of Israel back to myself. That's the background of our verse. That's the background of the comments when Zechariah says, then he's referring to the angel, he came to me and said, go tell Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. That's the manner in which God said, I will restore my people once again back to myself. This was a message of hope to Zerubbabel and to the children of Israel. I trust it will provide a message of hope for you today. Perhaps you are facing some difficulties and some struggles just like they were. I want this message to be one of hope and of encouragement for you today. And as we examine this passage, I want us to see from this verse how God restores His children back to Himself and gives to them a reviving, as it were, a restoration of soul and spirit, back in relationship with Himself. I want us to examine it today and see what it says, that we might be encouraged and strengthened as Zerubbabel and his people were in Zechariah's day. The first thing I want you to notice is immediately in our verse, the prophet outlines two fallacies, two ways in which Zerubbabel will not experience victory. And they are very common things upon which we rely today even, trying to search them for an answer to our problems. Notice them with me real quickly, if you will. First of all, he says it's not by might. Well, now what do we think of when we talk about might? Well, in actuality, these two fallacies that Zechariah outlines at the beginning, might and power, are opposites. The first one, not by might, is making reference to an army, a large number of people. And God is speaking through the prophet and telling Zechariah to give the message to Zerubbabel, tell him it's not going to be solved by armies. The solution to your problem, Zerubbabel, is not going to be military might or by numbers or by somehow gathering a large number of people that will somehow win the day. No, God says it's not by might. It's not going to rely and depend upon huge numbers of people somehow conquering the enemy. And in that day, Zerubbabel and his people were not very large. They did not have large armies. And so, in a sense, reminding them of this fallacy was a point of encouragement because they didn't have a large army. And he says, Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by might. It's not going to depend upon large armies. It's not going to depend upon huge forces to win the day. And then he quickly goes on and tells them it's not by might, nor is it by power. This is the opposite of huge numbers. This is one. This is one person. And God reminds Zerubbabel, nor is it going to depend upon one person. It's not going to depend upon you, Zerubbabel, nor is it going to depend upon the high priest, nor is it going to depend upon some other individual. It's not by might, the huge forces, large armies, nor is it by power, the individual, the person with the polished personality, the person who has prominent position, the person who is a powerful, dynamic individual. No, it's not going to depend upon that. That's not the answer. It's neither by large numbers, nor is it by the spectacular individual. That also, I'm sure, brought some sense of hope to Zerubbabel, because I'm sure that the difficulty seemed beyond him. And perhaps that's how you feel today. That you look at your spiritual life and your walk with the Lord and you feel discouraged because you feel so incapable of resolving the difficulties that face you and come into your life each day. Well, I would remind you, it doesn't depend upon you, nor does it depend upon large numbers of people. And I might stop at this point right here and make a comment reference to the Church of Jesus Christ today. For this, sadly, is much of the condition of the church today. The Church of Jesus Christ today is relying upon large numbers. In fact, there are many people who say that this must be the truth because look at all of the people who believe it. Or they say, this must be the way that God is leading the church because look at this individual pastor. He's got a huge church of 10,000 people. It must be right. And everyone runs after him and tries to copy and emulate his system and his plan and his program. Yet there are others who would say, if we could only get 5 million people to believe and trust the Lord and follow, then God will surely do this for us. No, doesn't depend upon might. Doesn't depend upon large numbers. And yet there are others in contrast to that say, what we really need is a man. What we really need is that dynamic leader who will take us into the next century, who will be that champion that we can follow. And they look for someone that has the polished personality. And they look for someone who has a prominent position. Or they look for someone who is great in leadership and very forceful and dynamic. And they say, if we could just have that person lead us, then we would find restoration back to God. No, my friends, it's neither one. It's not by might, the large numbers, huge masses, that which is popular. Nor is it the individual, the dynamic person. It's not that either. It's neither one of those. Those are fallacies. Those are untrue ways in which we think we will find the solution to life's problems. The Scriptures remind us in more than one place of these same truths and tell us that that's not the answer. Let me show you a couple of references that will indicate this same truth, because I want you to notice that this is the truth of Scripture. It isn't just something that occurs one time. We turn to the book of Isaiah, and we read in chapter number 30, verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to the prophet Isaiah reminding the children of Israel. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt, and they ask not at my mouth. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and they trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Through the prophet Isaiah, God was reminding his children, listen, you think that if you could just get back to Egypt, if you could just have the Pharaoh somehow step in on your behalf, all of these problems would be resolved. And God says, no, that's not the answer. In fact, if you do that, you will find that they will bring nothing but shame and confusion. The answer is not in might. It's not in an individual. We find also another reference in Scripture that talks about this same thing. We find it in the book of Psalms. Psalm number 33, where it talks about this same truth that we have stated here in Isaiah. We find in Psalm 33, verse number 16, it says, there is no king that is saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. You see, the truth of Scripture is clear. It's not by might. It's not by power. It has nothing to do with how strong I am, how dynamic I am, how many people I have in agreement with my position. That's not the solution. That is not the path back to restoration and walk with God. Now we see the prophet revealing to Zerubbabel that which will bring the answer. He says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The prophet was reminding the governor of Israel, forget the human answers. Forget looking to military might. Forget reliance upon that one key dynamic individual. It doesn't depend on either of those. It depends upon my Spirit, saith the Lord. God was reminding them through His prophet Zechariah that He Himself, by His Spirit, was the answer. And by resting and trusting and relying upon the Holy Spirit of God, they would find restoration and rebuilding back with God. And as we read on through the rest of this chapter, we find the prophet reminding the governor and the leaders of Israel that the mountains of obstacles that they would face would flow down and become plains before the might and power of God. In fact, we find throughout Scripture this same truth. And we can look to a number of different individuals and circumstances in Scripture that point out this same truth. That is by the Spirit of God that God brings forth His answer and shows His might and His power. We find it in the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt when they were slaves there for many hundreds of years. We find that it's the Spirit of God who brought them through the wilderness and brought them into the promised land. We find that it's the Spirit of God that moved upon David, the mighty king of Israel. We find that it was the Spirit of God that enabled Solomon to rule and reign with wisdom. We find that it's the Spirit of God that will bring the children of Israel once again back to fellowship and restoration with God. The Scriptures tell us over and over, it's not by might and power, it's by my Spirit. When we come to the New Testament, we find one of the most dynamic leaders of all in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And there are many who have tried to emulate and copy his style, but they leave out the most critical aspect and the most telling point of his testimony. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, where Paul was reminding his friends in Corinth how when he came there to preach, how it was that they were turned around from worshiping idols and their life of sensuality and pleasure to become children of God. And he said, it wasn't me. It wasn't my great skill as a speaker and of a teacher. No, it wasn't me. He said, but it was God who worked mightily in me by His Spirit that changed you and transformed you. Paul in another reference in his a second letter to the believers at Corinth wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. He says, "But we hold this treasure in an earthenware jar, that the excellency might be of God, not of man." So we see the Apostle Paul telling us clearly his testimony, and it is this. Don't try and copy my style. Don't look to me and my brilliance and my ability to think and to plan and to use logic and all of the skills of a human being. Don't look to me, for it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God who ministered through me. I'm just an earthen jar, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. That your faith might rely upon God and not upon me. One last reference we read from the Apostle Paul in his testimony, and we find that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. He's talking about having some great experience with God, a great vision of heaven. And then it says that God began to humble him so that he would not have pride in his spiritual walk with God. And he sent him some difficulty and some hardship in his life. And Paul was bemoaning the fact that he was facing these hardships, and he sought God to remove them. And God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, because when you are the weakest, that's when I am the strongest." So you see, it doesn't rely and rest upon a dynamic person. It doesn't rest upon your own abilities and strength. It doesn't rely upon the huge masses following a particular doctrine. No, it rests upon the Holy Spirit of God. And sadly today, the Church of Jesus Christ is trying to do it backwards, disallowing the work of the Spirit of God, setting it aside, trying to accomplish its goals and its tasks by might and by power, failing to use the one instrument that God said was His only instrument, the Holy Spirit of God. Perhaps that's true in your life. Perhaps that's true in the church where you attend, where the Holy Spirit of God has been kind of set aside, perhaps even ridiculed, perhaps even mocked and made fun of. That is the one messenger that God uses, the Holy Spirit of God. And I would remind you today, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. As we come toward a close of our broadcast today, I ask you this question. What does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your life today? Well, the first thing He wants them to accomplish is He wants to clarify for you the truth. He wants you to know it's not by might, not by power, it's by His Spirit. And He wants you to know the truth. For it's the truth that sets you free. And He wants you to know the truth that you might set aside that which is false and cling and believe and conform your life to that which is true. That you might find comfort and relief in the truth. Secondly, the Spirit of God wants these truths to convict us and to point out in our lives where we have failed. I asked earlier in the broadcast, and I ask you again at this point near our close, where have you failed to apply these truths in your own life? Where have you relied upon might and power to accomplish that which only God Himself can produce? Where have you failed to rely and rest upon the supernatural authority and ability of the Holy Spirit of God? Where have you set Him aside and rejected His work and ministry in your life? I trust that the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to see where you have failed and to convict you of your sin and your rejection of God's truth. The third thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths is He wants to correct you. He brings the conviction into your mind, into your heart, and your soul, not just to bring sorrow and to bring sadness, but He brings it that He might change you, that He might release you from the bondage of that which is false, that you might walk in that which is true. And by walking in the truth, you might find freedom and relief and release from the bondage of sin. Today, the Spirit of God would want to bring correction into your life and to bring you into the truth and to change you that you might walk in newness of life. And the fourth thing, the last thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths is in changing you and in correcting you, conform you unto God's will and purpose for your life. God has a design and a purpose for you that can only be accomplished by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Only as He is permitted to rule and to reign and have authority over the direction of your life will you discover and experience it. And only by permitting the Spirit of God to work in your life will you enjoy the freedom and the restoration that only He can bring. My prayer for you today, my friend, is that you will yield to the work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life. That you will set aside the false notions of the day, popular though they may be, and set them aside and begin to rest and rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. That you might experience the supernatural authority and ability that only He can bring to your life. That you might experience His freedom and release and authority and power in your life.